Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
When there's a mass shooting in the country, everyone feels the sorrow. When the shooter is a military veteran, other vets take special notice. The 28-year-old man who stormed a bar in Thousand Oaks, California Wednesday night and killed 12 people had served in the Marine Corps. He was a machine gunner in Afghanistan. The vast majority of mass shooters are not vets, but people like Coleman Nee are especially concerned when they are. Nee is a former Secretary of Veterans Services in Massachusetts. He, too, is a Marine. He served in the first Persian Gulf War. We asked him what he draws from the shooting.
The first thing I draw is I become very anxious that people are going to automatically jump to the conclusion that military service was responsible for this. You know, we hear this with a lot of people. In fact, the general public seems to have an impression that military service, particularly deployment to a combat zone, that most of the veterans returning have some type of mental health issue or that they're, you know, hard to adjust into civilian life and that there's a predisposition amongst them to, you know, commit acts like this. And it's frankly just not true.
So you're saying it's not a predisposition?
Absolutely not.
But and the majority of those who come back can meld well into civilian life. But we know that there is a huge problem with PTSD. We should also say that we don't know if Ian David Long, the perpetrator of this latest shooting, had any specific PTSD diagnosis. He did have problems. A mental health crisis team was brought into his house. A sheriff said he may have had PTSD. There is a link between military service and PTSD, but your fear is what?
Well, first of all, you just said it there. I mean, a sheriff determined that he had PTSD, not a medical professional, or at least assume that he had PTSD. PTSD is a very specific diagnosis. It affects probably 1 in 5 veterans, according to the RAND Corporation, coming back from deployments. But it also takes many different forms. The vast majority of people who are living with PTSD tend not to have delusions. Most of them are not violent. Most of them don't act out in that way. It's very specific. It usually affects people very silently and very personally. It comes with nervousness, hypervigilance, lack of sleeping, can lead to deteriorations in their relationships with their families or, you know, a little bit of bitterness or a lot of bitterness in some cases. But it generally doesn't, you know, manifest itself by people acting in violent ways or doing things like this. And, you know, there's a lot of complexity with this disorder. There's a lot of complexity with human beings in general. A lot of people may have, you know, pre-existing mental health conditions prior to military service, which get exacerbated by that military service.
What's the consequence, though, when people conflate being a vet with having PTSD and having PTSD with conducting a mass shooting?
Well, the consequences are people might be less likely to hire someone when they come in and they signify that they're a veteran. People may be less likely to socialize with people that they think have been deployed because they feel like potentially they could be violent. You know, there's been a number of veterans that feel that I talked to over the years that feel that they didn't get a job or they didn't get a promotion or that they were treated differently in their companies, particularly after instances like this.
Simply because they were a vet?
Because they're a veteran and they deployed to a combat zone. Think about it today. If you have someone in your office who maybe they're a little quiet because some people are just quiet, but you know that they've deployed to a combat zone or been in Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, I mean, how are they being treated today? Are they being looked at a little different? Are they, you know, people worried about them? Imagine how that feels for that individual.
How about the veterans themselves? In your experience when you were Secretary of Veterans Services in Massachusetts, when veterans hear of a tragedy like the California mass shooting or the one at a Texas church a year ago when a veteran opened fire and killed 26 people, does it spawn a certain reaction from veterans?
You know, it really does. It makes us, we're of two minds. I mean, first off, we're fearful of the fact that this will perpetuate the stereotype that veterans are more predisposed to mental health issues or to violent actions than the general population. And the other thing it does is it makes us sad. It makes us sad because we know, you know, those of us who work with people and have served with people that are struggling coming back for reintegration for a whole host of really good reasons about why they should be struggling coming back, that here's one of our brothers or one of our sisters who hasn't been able to realize that pathway forward. And for those of us who work in veteran services, I've met thousands of veterans. I know multitudes of people with post-traumatic stress and reintegration issues as a result of their deployments. And the vast majority of them can tell you there is a pathway back, but it's challenging. It's not always easy, but you have to work at it.
I want to talk, Coleman, before we let you go, about a program that you started when you were Secretary of Veterans Affairs in the state. And this is an outreach program. It's called SAVE, which has veterans serve as peer support coordinators for other veterans, obviously, and even make home visits. How is that particularly helpful in a time like this?
The great innovation of the SAVE program is that it's field and mobile-based. So, you know, for a lot of times we were telling veterans that the resources are available, but they have to come down to either a government building or a medical treatment center or some type of counseling center, which is a really intimidating thing to do for people, particularly when your mindset is such that, you know, you've been trained to be self-reliant and strong, strong in mind and body. We hired veterans who had been deployed. Many of them had had their own struggles with mental health issues. We trained them in basic mental health services and really told them, get out in the field and do the work out there. Meet the veterans where they are.
And then what do you say when the vets come to you? How do you help them?
We tell them first and foremost that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them and that, you know, we understand completely what they're going through because many of us went through the same thing. And then we really sit down with them. We figure out what's the right resource for you at this time. You know, not just refer them, but actually physically get them there or connect them by phone. You know, some all treatment options aren't the same. For some veterans, medication may be a treatment. For others, mindfulness and holistic opportunities may be a better treatment. But whatever it is, we're going to stay with them through that process.
Coleman Nee is former Secretary of Veterans Services in Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can find links to resources for veterans on our website, wbur.org.